Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today, as we continue our sermon series through 1 Corinthians, comes from chapter 12, selected verses. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, this might be one of the more important subjects in our sermon series looking at 1 Corinthians and how it is a manual for the church. What we are talking about, what spiritual gifts are, and how they bring us together as church members. There is a lot of confusion regarding both of these topics, spiritual gifts and church membership, and I hope that today we can try to clear some of that up. But before we get started, there is a concept of church membership which we need to address, which is so-called country club membership. This is a mindset in which would view our participation in church as being similar to membership in a country club. You go to the club, you pay your dues, and allow the professionals and staff to do all the heavy lifting by meeting your needs and serving you. This is an insidious concept of church membership because it divides the lay people from their pastors and other church workers, and it actually starts to rob the congregation members of some of their role in the church. After all, congregation members are not passive recipients any more than Jesus was a passive recipient of the service of his disciples and followers. Instead, Jesus told them that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And that holds true for us today as members of the body of Christ. We are not here to be served, but to serve one another. And in order for us to serve one another in the church, God has blessed each one of us with spiritual gifts. And Paul lists out a lot of different spiritual gifts in our reading today and other places in his writings. He lists out, one is given through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, another is given the utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, all these gifts of the Spirit. Or then later on, God appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. All of these are gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, which God has given to his church. But there's a lot of confusion about what spiritual gifts are. For all, the question's been asked many times, does everyone have to have a spiritual gift? Some people may look at this and say, okay, I don't speak in tongues, I don't interpret tongues, I'm not particularly good at administration or at healing, I don't have any of these. But a better question to ask is, what does it mean to have a spiritual gift? And the answer is very simple. A spiritual gift means that you have the Holy Spirit in you, which is a gift from God. This is a gift which was given to you in your baptism, and it is yours. It gives you, this gift brings with it special abilities, but those themselves are also gifts from God, and everyone has special abilities. You already have been given them by God, and by the Holy Spirit, it is that you are enabled to use those gifts to bless others and to serve God. My vicar supervisor in East Moline, Illinois, used to say that his spiritual gift is administration. And if you saw his congregation and the way it was run, you would agree. He certainly has a gift for leading and organizing groups of people. Such a skill would be invaluable in the secular world, where he could probably run a small corporation or maybe even larger with just as much success as he has at his church. And so, what is it that makes this a spiritual gift instead of simply a normal talent? And that is the use. Using your gift to build up the church, using it for a spiritual purpose, is what makes something a spiritual gift. If you use that gift in a non-spiritual way, it is not a spiritual gift. If you use it to build up the church, and if you use it to serve God, then it is a spiritual gift. I've often wondered what my own spiritual gift is. For all, I can't teach like any of my best seminary professors. I can't preach like Walter A. Meyer, but then who can? I can't administrate like my vicar supervisor does, but that doesn't make me any less of a pastor, and it also doesn't make the abilities I do have any less important or valuable. And you may not have the same spiritual gifts that I do, but that's actually a good thing. God, after all, God has given many different gifts because all gifts are important. Paul uses the example of a human body as an example of the church. The body needs different parts. After all, if you don't have hands, you can't manipulate objects, and it will also mess with so many other things, balance being one. If you don't have eyes, then you can't see. If you don't have ears or a nose, you can't hear or smell. All the different parts of the body are important. Even the ones that we don't display in public. We may add to Paul's example of the body a sports analogy. After all, football season just started a week ago. Imagine watching a football game where the offense takes the field and they all line up in the backfield. Some genius offensive coordinator decided to run out 11 running backs. That wouldn't go very well. That play would be over before it even starts. After all, if everyone's a running back, who's going to block? Without wide receivers, even in a running play, who's going to block downfield? And forget about blocking. Who's going to snap the ball if there's no center? All the different functions are important. All the different positions are important. Every gift, every member of the body is important. And it's in that same way that spiritual gifts, the abilities which we use in the Spirit, differ, and that is a very good thing. Some people have gifts in administration, but if everyone is an administrator, who's going to follow? Some people have gifts in music, but if everyone has a gift in music, then who's going to listen? Or who's going to engage in visual arts? Not everyone can teach, not everyone can be a student, but the church needs both. All of these gifts are important to the church. The church needs all the gifts at its disposal in order to flourish. And you also have been given gifts by God that you can use, so that you can use them for the benefit of the church. However, having different gifts does not make us unequal within the church. For all, we are all different people, we all have different abilities, and that is part of what it means to be human. But, as I mentioned before, the different parts are all important. It's easy to look at your own abilities and say that they make you more important than someone else. I'm so friendly and personable, I'm the best greeter in this church. In fact, we don't need ushers, I'm so good. Or, on the other hand, my musical abilities make me indispensable to our worship services far better than all those people who listen. At the same time, sometimes it's even easier to look at our own abilities and say that they have no importance. You might be asking, how am I supposed to serve God when my only ability is sewing? Or how am I supposed to serve God when my best ability is writing? Or sometimes I wonder if we denigrate our own abilities to absolve ourselves of the responsibility to use them. And yet, each of your gifts is important, and they are all indispensable to the church. The body needs all the gifts we possess, the body needs all the members that it has, and they all cooperate together for the good of the whole. Because though we all differ, though we are all different members, we are all parts joined together into a single body. We are all members of the body of Christ. That's what Paul says in verse 27. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The parts of your body all work together under your head's direction, and the same holds true with the body of Christ. The body of Christ works together under the direction of its head, and that head is Jesus. And that really is what church membership means, that you are a member of Christ's body, which is the church, and this subordinates your will and your desires to those of another. And that other actually is not the church, it is the head of the church, it is Christ. St. Augustine of Hippo was not a Christian when he was growing up. In fact, he was about as pagan as you could get, a follower of one of the many non-Christian cults of that era. He lived a hedonistic lifestyle as a youth, getting into all the trouble you'd expect from a young teenage boy, the odd theft, sex outside marriage, the works. And yet, he had received incredible gifts from God. A brilliant mind, spectacular writing ability, and excellent oratorical skill. However, he was not using these gifts in a spiritual manner, but for his own purposes. Were these gifts from God? Absolutely. Was Augustine treating them as spiritual gifts? Decidedly not. But all of that changed after his conversion to Christianity. Instead of using his gifts to serve himself, Augustine turned them to the service of his God, writing extensively, including brilliant books that are still in use today. His Confessions and City of God are both considered theological masterpieces. He became a powerful preacher and a powerful leader within the church, resisting those same ideologies which had attracted him as a youth. But he did not consider these gifts to make him better than any other believers. All are equal in God's eyes, equally subject to their own sinful desires, equally redeemed by Jesus Christ, who calls us all together into his body, redeeming us by his precious blood, sanctifying us through the washing of rebirth in water and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.